Now, friends, we're in this section labeled the do-gooder. This is where we see him in action. This is the man that says, well, I think if you pay your honest debts and live a good life, that God is going to accept you. This is the fellow that goes down the middle of the road on the freeway of life. He is Babbitt on Main Street in the big city, doing business under a neon sign, but living in suburbia in a sedate, secluded, and exclusive neighborhood, taking it easy, and says, I'm going to heaven on my own propulsion. I am working out my own salvation, and I'm a pretty good fella after all. And this is the man that has a hard philosophy of life. And there's very little joy in this man's life. Oh, he has the happy hour each evening when he has his cocktail. But he comes to some very doleful conclusions. And fact of the matter is, as we have attempted to call attention, that some of the teachings in this book are radical. Someone said to me after a message on Ecclesiastes, why, Dr. McGee, that's radical teaching. Sure is. This is the man under the sun. This is not the Christian viewpoint at all. This is altogether different that we're looking at right now. And it does not represent actually God's viewpoint. This is the conclusions that the man under the sun has to come to. And they're radical. He believes in dividing the wealth. He has socialistic ideas. He has a great many ideas that are not accurate. And we're going to see that, especially here in chapter 9. To me, this is a rather doleful chapter, by the way. This book in the Bible is like a black sheep in a flock of sheep. It's like the tents of Kedar. On a white background, the tents of Kedar were made from the wool of the black sheep or black goats. Now, actually, this book here, as we've seen, it seems to contradict other portions of Scripture. It expresses ideas that are contrary to some of the great teachings of the Scripture. And the thing that almost alarms you, that this has been the favorite book of atheists, Volney and Voltaire. They quoted profusely from it. It fosters a pessimistic philosophy of life like Schopenhauer had. And the most shocking feature is that some of the isms today in the modern cults, they predicate the main thesis of their system on this book. And in this chapter, they use a verse for soul sleep. And how did this book get into the canon? How do you reconcile its teachings? How do you harmonize its statements with the Christian faith? Well, any book, the purpose of the writer must be considered. And again, I come back to this. What is the purpose? What is the thesis? What is he trying to prove? What is he demonstrating? Is the writer setting forth Christian principles? Actually, he's speaking of life apart from God. And he's trying to make an experiment to see how to be happy without God. And these are the conclusions that he came to under the sun. This is the way the man of the world goes today. Now, I want to illustrate what we mean this way. One halfway between high tide and low tide is what they call the mean tide. And that is sea level. Now, there is today a realm of life below sea level. And then there's a realm of life above sea level. Actually, two worlds. There is the world below sea level. And there are certain chemical elements there. And above, it's different molecules. Below, it's aqueous. Above, it's gaseous. Above, there are birds with feathers that live. Below, there are fish with fins below. Now, there are two ways of life. The mockingbird does not tell the tuna fish what's wrong with him because he doesn't have feathers. And above sea level, you open your mouth and breathe deeply. That is, if you can get out of the smog. But below sea level, you'd be in trouble if you use that method. And actually, I think a monkey and a barracuda could have a good debate on which direction is sea level. The barracuda says it's up. The monkey says it's down. Now, Ecclesiastes is under the sun. The Christian life is in the heavenlies. It's where God is. God's viewpoint is above the sun. And now we're looking at two ways of life. Life under the sun. It's this mundane existence apart from God, a future and an eternity without God, and the spiritual in God's left out. Now the Christian life is altogether in contrast to this. We have been saved by the grace of God and for the display of His grace. So we have two different spheres, and the laws and principles of one will not apply to the other. They're as far apart as that which is below sea level, that which is above sea level. Now, you're wasting your time to tell a non-Christian, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. He isn't even in Christ. No use talking to him along that line. It's like trying to teach a mud turtle to fly because he likes the swamp and he's not interested in flying. Now, Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, and as we said before, it's a record of an experiment he made with life. He tried everything under the sun to see if he could find satisfaction of soul. And in this chapter alone, under the sun occurs about 4 or 5 times. Under the sun, and everything must be interpreted in the light of that. Now, he had already tried other things. He tried the pursuit of knowledge, came to the conclusion the making of many books there is no end. He tried pleasure, and the outcome was I hated life. He tried riches, and he came to the conclusion he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. And then he tried religion. And you either become a lunatic or a racketeer, a crank or a crook, fanatic or become frantic, a nut or a bum, the two routes if you're going to go the religious route. And then he tried fame. A good name is rather to be chosen. It's better than precious ointment, he says. And then he tried morality. And all he could say is all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Thackeray wrote a wonderful novel called Vanity Fair. If you've ever read it, you know the story of Becky. And he concluded it by telling all of the littleness and the sin in the lives of these people during the time of the wars of Napoleon and how they lived little lives apart from God. For Thackeray, by the way, was a Christian. And then he concludes it like this. He says, the play is over. We'll put the puppets back in the box. All is vanity and vexation of spirit. And by the way, you could do that with Hollywood. It's the pleasure capital. It's the sin center. This is the place where there's fame and riches. And this is the place that has the monopoly on sleeping pills. My friend, life is empty without God and without Christ. Augustine gave that famous yet trite and hackneyed expression, Thou hast made us for thyself, and our lives are restless until we rest in thee. The human heart is so constructed that you could put the whole world in it and still have room for something else. And yet when you have Christ, your heart's not big enough to hold him. Now look at this chapter here with that background. The most frightening fact about Ecclesiastes, it's the basis for socialism. And my friend, your country and mine is closer to socialism than you can ever imagine. And this is the only answer to statism, regimentation. What's that? Christ is the answer. And he's the only answer. You can only go one direction without him, and with him there's life abundant.